Welcome to the Ocean Hills Podcast. Our hope is that today's message would help you connect more deeply with God and with others. If you would like more information on what is happening in the Ocean Hills community, check out our website at oceanhills.org or download the Ocean Hills app. If you are encouraged by our ministry and would like to partner with us financially, you can give through your mobile device by texting Ocean Hills to 77977. We hope you enjoy this message.
How many of you are Chosen fans? Oh, if you have not seen The Chosen, you can pretty much see it on a lot of platforms now, and it is such a great representation of very familiar stories. And the second reason I wanted to show that clip is because Jerry and I are actually going to have the opportunity to be extras in season 6 that's filming this summer. Yes, we'll be playing the third Caucasian Jew couple on the left in the back. And if you want Jerry's autograph after the service, he'll be at the tent. But in all seriousness, it is a great, great, it's worth your while. And it's worth having your kids see this. For those of you who don't know me, and there are a lot of you, my name is Lori Short, and I used to be on staff here for 10 years. And I met and married my husband in this church. We raised a boy in this church who is now 22 years old, and because of the influence of Ocean Hills Church, he is currently serving not only as a U.S. Marine, but also leading worship at Vertical Church in Yuma, Arizona. And I just want to encourage those of you who have made the choice to make this church your home. You did not make a bad choice. This is a great place to raise children and also grow in your faith and have them grow in their faith, because it takes a village. And I want you to know that there are people that have been in this church that literally changed his life. So that's a little plug from someone who's no longer on staff, so I don't get any kickback from that. But I am just thrilled to be here today, and I want to go ahead and read the scripture so that we can actually hear it from the Word of God. And if you want to follow along, it is in Matthew 14, starting with verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." One of the Bible study principles that I'll give you this morning that I always operate with is the idea of notice what you notice when you're reading God's Word. And when I was given this scripture, I noticed that the words "take courage" jumped out at me. So immediately I started checking out some other translations of the scripture and noticed about 5 of them had those 2 words, "take courage." And what that said to me is that courage is actually a choice. We're not just given courage. We have to take courage. It's something that's offered us by Jesus, But we actually have to respond in order to have courage in our lives. So what I want to talk about this morning is a couple of things that keep us from taking courage. And we're going to look at this incredible story in Peter's life. Pastor Cozy did such a great job last week talking about Peter, and she mentioned that Peter tends to kind of be either all in or all out. I mean, I think he's a four on the Enneagram, personally, because I'm a four and I relate to Peter. And a couple of examples out of Scripture, Matthew 9, I don't know if you recall this scene, but Jesus actually has a transfiguration. And Peter, James, and John are the only ones that are there. And he is talking with Moses and Elijah up in the clouds. And they see this, those three disciples. And so Peter, because he thinks it's so great, he goes, well, you know what we should do? We should just build tents here for the three of you and just stay here. And Matthew actually says this. I love this so much when you can see the disciples' personality. Matthew in chapter 9 says, in parentheses, he did not know what he was saying. And I think that's so true about Peter. He jumps before he thinks. He speaks before he thinks. Another example is when he, and some of you know this story, when Jesus goes to wash the disciples' feet, and it's before he's going to make his way to the cross, and he takes on the role of a servant, and he gets to Peter, and Peter says, oh, no, master, you will not wash my feet. You will never wash my feet. And Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, then you will have no part of me. And then Peter goes, well, then wash my whole body. Wash it all. You know, I mean, he just goes from one extreme to another. And you see this again and again. And then, of course, the famous scene when Jesus is getting arrested and Peter thinks, I'm going to save the Savior of the world right now. I'm going to cut off the ear of this guy. And Jesus has to put the ear back on the guy because, you know, he's always kind of cleaning up after Peter. But that's why I love this story today, because you could debate whether this is a success story or a failure story. Peter walked, but he also sank. And that is what this passage is about. But I would bet that it's the story that Peter told other people about. I could just imagine him standing by the Sea of Galilee going, see that water over there? I walked on it. You know, because as much as the disciples could make fun of him and say, well, you really just sank, Peter, he could turn to them and say, three steps more than you took, you know. I mean, he went for it. But I want to talk today about what keeps us from going for it. And the first thing that I think keeps us from going for it is inadequacy. I can't do this. I mean, we all know that walking on water is impossible. And if Peter had thought for 1 minute about what he was asking Jesus to do, he would go, wait a minute, this is impossible. And I know some of you have been barefoot skiing, but it's not quite the same as walking on water because you need a boat for that. When the boat stops, you go down. So we all know that this is an impossible task. And so what happens is a lot of us in our lives avoid the impossible task. We tend to make room for it. We don't want to be seen as inadequate, so we don't even try to do those things that we know we can't do on our own strength. And I don't know what it is about all of us feeling like we have to put up a front to each other, like we're totally together. And it's probably because I write books about when life falls apart, where is God, and you know, God's mysterious timing and faith in the dark and those kind of books that I've talked to so many people, and I can assure you that nobody has their life together. Matter of fact, I'm just going to ask you this morning to take a risk and to turn to the person next to you and say to them, despite all appearances, I do not have it all together. Could you do that? And avoid your spouse right now because they already know that. So somebody else. Now, don't you feel a lot better? See, we've just transformed this sanctuary into an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, right? You know? I mean, you just proclaim it, and then we all go, oh, yeah, you're that way, too. Well, I'm that way, too. And here's what I want to tell you this morning. I know a couple of weeks ago you had John Ortberg speak on Easter. We were actually watching Jordan in Yuma. But John Ortberg has recently written a book that I would highly recommend called Steps. And in that book, it was one of those lines that just jumped out at me. He says this: there is no power like powerlessness. And the reason there is no power like powerlessness is because that is the place where you are met with the power of God. Because as long as you are managing your own faith and only doing things that you can do, and avoiding the things that you can't do, or avoiding the places in your life that you're afraid of, as long as you are doing that, you will never experience the power of God. Those of us who have taken that step and done something that we know we can't do on our own strength, that is what causes you to know God differently. And so your inadequacy is the very place that invites God into your life. I don't know where we got this in the church. I think in the church especially, we want everybody to think we're okay. It's almost like if we've got it together, then God will love us. And the reality is that God is simply looking for you not to have it together so he can meet you at that place. Because that is the only place that we really experience God. So inadequacy is one thing that keeps us from taking that step. The second thing, and the biggest thing, and the thing we've been singing about all morning, is fear. I'm afraid to do this. I've said this before in this church, but I think fear lives so much bigger in our minds than when we actually do the thing we're afraid of. And I think that is where Satan gets us. Our imagination of how it's going to be is always bigger than it actually is. And that can paralyze us. When I was a teenager, a movie came out, and I think I have the poster to the movie. It was a movie called Jaws. And some of you remember this. And, you know, I mean, the best Jaws was the very first one. Don't even see the sequels after that. And the reason the best one was the first one is because of what you didn't see. Isn't that true? I mean, the opening scene is a woman, you know, she's swimming at night, so you can't even see really hardly anything that's happening. But you hear that famous song, dun-dun, 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 dun-dun. And then all of a sudden your mind just goes nuts as you're seeing her. We used to play act it in front of each other because what you didn't see was underneath the water. So your imagination was so much bigger, especially when you saw the mechanical shark. Once you saw the mechanical shark, suddenly you're like, this isn't that great of a movie. But up until that point, and you know that's true about scary movies, isn't it? I mean, it's what you don't see that scares you. So it stands to reason that Satan would try to stop us with what we imagine in our minds. Now, I know some of you don't believe me when I say this, but I have always wrestled with a great fear of speaking. Even my husband knows this. When we first got married and I was preaching here, I got so nervous beforehand that he literally worried that I would just fall down onto the stage when I came up here. And so I battled this fear, and when I first started being asked to speak, it was years and years ago, I was working for Youth Specialties, and because of that, we would train youth workers. And they, you know, had youth groups. And so eventually, I got asked to speak at camps at conferences. And I was terrified. And I remember the first time I got asked to speak, I actually turned it down, not because I couldn't do it, but because I was afraid. Of course, I didn't tell them that. I said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. And I hung up. And I remember just having this moment of truth. Am I going to let fear run my life? Because that's where I was headed. Like, I'm not going to do this because I'm too afraid of doing it. And it might be the very thing God wants you to do. And working through that fear is part of it. So I remember calling them back and saying that I could do it, and I began to speak at camps and conferences, and it wasn't easy. But I remember in particular this one, and all the teenagers, they were, you know, if you want to learn how to speak in front of teenagers. Delaney will tell you that. Because they are not polite like, you know, adults are. They will let you know if you suck. You will know by looking at them. And so it was kind of like being thrown out to the sharks. And I remember in this particular camp, it was in Illinois, and these kids, man, they were just so cool. And, you know, they sort of put up with the talk so they could be at the camp. And I remember just being so nervous the night I was going to present the gospel and give these kids an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. And it was so important. I was so scared. And I remember just that evening, literally, a storm started rolling into this place, a summer storm. And the sky got kind of dark right before. And so as I got up on stage, and I decided to use the prodigal son story. So I was telling this whole story about the father coming running after the son and that God comes running after you and all you have to do is say yes. And just as I was saying that, the biggest thunderclap you ever heard came behind me. I'm not kidding. I looked up and all the kids were like, and I got to the end where I said, now if any of you want to say yes to God, every kid in that camp stood up. I don't know if they were all becoming Christians, but man, they were moved. And I actually had the chance to return a couple of summers later, and they called it Lori Storm. Like it was a legend at that point, you know, Lori Storm, like as if I, you know, controlled all this. I just want to be clear to tell you that that does not happen every time I speak. And it won't happen every time you do the thing that you're afraid of, that God maybe shows up in such a visible way. But here's the thing that Peter learned. Even if you fail, God shows up. And you will experience him differently. And that comes to the third thing that I want to share. The third thing that causes us not to do it. And that's really willfulness. I will not do this thing. Some of you have your feet set in the sand. I am not going to give God that one area of my life that I'm terrified. I don't even know what my life would look like if I let go of this particular thing. I know that I just can't do it. I will not do this, whatever it is in your life. And I'm here to tell you that trying is winning. You know, it's interesting. Jen Goebel-Zorb is back in our church, and I'm so happy about that. You know, she left as Jen Goebel, and she came back with three kids and a husband. But we now call her Jen Z for short. But Jen Zorb, she is a licensed therapist, and she is doing this wonderful new project called the Pearl Project. And I kind of have given it a nickname. I don't know if this is exactly accurate, but it's sort of like therapy in a box, that you get a whole bunch of different things that help you. Not just talking to someone, but all of these experiential things that help you work through things in your life. And the first one that I got was this box that inside there was this beautiful painting of a bison. And what she explains is that being from Colorado, they have great storms that come in. And what happens is if you watch, all the animals start running away from the storm when the storm descends. And that's a smart thing to do when a storm descends. But the bison turns and faces the storm. And because the bison turns and faces the storm passes more quickly for the bison. The ones that are running from the storm are in the storm a whole lot longer. It gets bigger. It chases you. And any of us who have avoided things in our life, we know that's true. It just grows bigger in our life if we don't turn and face it. That's where all the power is just saying, I'm going to do it, even if I don't know how this is going to turn out. In fact, especially because you don't know how it's going to turn out. That is the place, and there are people in this church who have done it, that is the place where you meet God. Your whole relationship with God changes forever when you see God do something that you can't do in your life. Ortberg has another statement and that he references, actually, because he learned it from somebody who was in the martial arts. And so maybe some of you are in martial arts and you know this. But he was asked, you know, about this whole goal of the black belt. And what he said was, a black belt is a white belt who keeps showing up. Trying is winning. You know, I can point to so many times in my life when I spoke and it didn't go that great. I went back into my cabin and, you know, I got the bored, yawning teenager, the one that left, you know. I mean, I had all of that. And I just remember going back into my room and just saying, but this isn't about me. It's about you, and I'm not going to let fear beat me. I've already won because I'm here. And you win when you show up. You win when you take that step because God can give his power in a way that he can't do when we resist it. I want to lead us in a prayer now, and I'm going to ask the band to come up here. And I just want you all to just close your eyes. I don't want anybody looking at anybody else. But as you think about this, you know, that whole notice what you notice. What was the God word for you? Where is God stirring in your soul? What is that thing maybe you're avoiding in your life? The thing that you're afraid of in your life. The thing that you've decided, I will never do this because I can't show my inadequacy. Maybe it's something that's relational in your life. Maybe it's a habit or something you have not been able to beat on your own strength. Maybe it's a fear of something that you've avoided in your life because you know deep down inside you're afraid. But I want to ask you that with everybody's eyes closed, that if there's something in your life that you feel God stirring you, to maybe today take that step, to just take a step toward courage, to take courage. I'm just going to ask you to stand right where you are with everybody's eyes closed because I just want to pray for you right now. So if there's something in your life that's maybe caused you to be afraid or held you back or something that you haven't been able to do or habits you haven't been able to overcome or anything in your life, just with everybody's eyes closed, would you just stand right where you are? Jesus stands out in the waves and against all odds beckons Peter out of the boat. And he decides to take that step. And he takes a couple steps and then he looks at the waves and he starts to sink and Jesus is right there with him. And Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters who are standing here for that same courage, that courage just to take a single step because that's where you meet us, right there. There isn't a person in this room who has it all together. We all need you. And it's at that place of need that you meet us most powerfully. So I pray for my brothers and sisters who are standing and maybe those who haven't yet found the courage to stand, God, that you would meet them right where they are. And now I'm going to ask all of you to go ahead and stand up as we finish this prayer and go into worship. And I want to encourage you that maybe a second step of faith today, especially if you stood up, is to come forward for prayer, to name the thing that you are afraid of, because there is something about that power of doing that that will cause that to diminish in your life. Like I said, it grows so much bigger in our minds, but when we name it and we face it, it immediately shrinks because of the power of God. God is able. Just think of Jesus. You of little faith, why did you doubt? Why do we doubt? I don't know why we doubt. Because he is big and he is real and he loves you so much. So during this worship song, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward. And if you want to come forward for specific prayer for anything in your life, would you take that step to do it? Lord, we stand as doubter believers. We go back and forth in our life, this side of heaven, all the time. And God, I pray that you would give us more and more courage every time we step out, simply because you are there to catch us. Thank you that trying is winning, and that even our small steps of faith, you delight in. And we love you. In Jesus' name.